Our morning conversation today is with guest SIU Chancellor Rita Chang. Chancellor Chang, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Boy, there have been a lot of things going on the Carbondale campus and system-wide since the last time you and I talked. Let's start with that happy news that came out this weekend. Lots and lots of graduates are really happy to have their diplomas. What does graduation, what does commencement mean for you as a chancellor and for all of these students?
Well, Saturday was indeed a great day. We awarded more than 3,000 degrees in three ceremonies. The arena was packed in all three ceremonies. Our keynote speaker, author and actress Allie Wentworth, was a major hit. We also recognized two individuals with distinguished awards, James Moody, an alumnus who was one of the nation's leading lighting designers, and Charlie Priester, a widely recognized aviation industry leader whose commitment to our aviation program goes back 30 years. You know, my favorite part of commencement is when the students recognize their parents, grandparents, and other family members and friends. It's a genuine, heartfelt moment. And then when each of the students come across the stage, it is really a reminder for us all of why we spend so much of our passion and energy on education, because it does transform lives.
You see quite a few smiles as those kids come across the stage.
We certainly did.
Sure, sure. You mentioned 3,000 degrees awarded, so
actually 3,200.
All right.
Yeah.
So that many students perhaps not returning for school in the fall, that affects enrollment numbers. You've been talking a lot in terms of updates to applications, housing contracts, things like that. I know it's just a snapshot to what's happening now, but what is happening now?
Well, we're still 16 weeks out from the beginning of the semester, so it's really very soon, very early. But signals for new student enrollment remain promising. They have been all along. Housing contracts for both new undergraduates and transfer students are up by more than 150 students. And there's reflecting an increase of about 5% for over last year for the new students. Remember, last year's new student was a big, big class, and 33% increase over a much lower base of transfer students. So commitments for new student orientations continue to grow, and the best indicators for fall are those first-time undergraduates. So we're expecting another large incoming class. Less clear are the numbers for new graduate students and returning students. Remember that we're still digging out from declines, declines of previous classes that have been in the pipeline. And so our growth in new freshmen last year, this year, will be part of that future enrollment picture.
And we'll spend some more time on retention efforts, which is that keeping those students going through their college careers later during this conversation. But I wanted to ask a few questions about comparing SIU Carbondale to, say, SIU Edwardsville or Eastern Illinois University. Is it stacking up the same in terms of the number of students applying, the caliber of students that are being accepted?
Well, we're very different institutions, so it's very hard to compare patterns of student enrollment. Our applications are over 13,000, we continue to receive applications every week. SIU Carbondale has historically received applications through the summer, and we will do the same this year, although we're encouraging students, and particularly if they are needing financial aid, to get into the queue early.
And that, of course, includes filling out that free application for federal student aid, the FAFSA,
making sure that
all of those things are in process. I have heard that summer enrollment is way up, and people are wondering, they're wondering why.
the bright spot of summer is our online offering, and I would say that is the reason why. We have expanded our marketing efforts, we have added high-demand courses, and we have launched a significant portfolio of online offerings. And so we've got more than 140 more courses this summer than last, an increase of 15%, And while we may take time to influence summer significantly, the university is committed to ongoing growth. We're still 7 weeks out of the official summer enrollment date. So things are, you know, still moving around, but there's definitely a very large increase in the online course enrollment.
Is that part of the gap when you're looking at retention, is that students go home for the summer and they don't have that connection, whether it's online or on campus, that connection to SIU?
Of course, they've always gone home in the summer. And so that's not a new story. What we are attempting to do is to help students continue their progress toward degree. And students are, in a sense, voting with their feet and enrolling in online classes because that allows them to not only go home for the summer, but to go to another area and get work experience connected to their degree program, enroll in an intern program, maybe for credit or not, and still take an online course and continue progressing toward their degree. So it's very, very popular all over the country because it allows for that flexibility.
I understand that as online learning was really coming to pass here at SIU Carbondale, there were some struggles, some questions about how that would all happen. Is that really starting to pick up now? Are you finding more and more departments and individual faculty members embracing this and moving forward with this?
Yes, the technology was a significant change for most of us when it was first introduced, and there were questions about whether or not the learning outcomes were going to be as significant as they are in face-to-face classes. And the research shows that indeed an excellent face-to-face class and an excellent online class both provide the learning outcomes that we all achieve or desire to achieve.
Sure. One of the other things that's changing at this point, we're getting notice, I should be clear, I work on the SIU campus, so we know that some of the notices going out, including for student work, are changing for the next year. Students were normally allowed to work, I think it was 29 and a half hours per week, and that's being moved down. It's 20 hours a week now. Can you explain why and what the rationale is there?
Well, let me start with some background. You're correct that our past practice was to allow students to work up to 29 and a half hours weekly during the academic year and longer during breaks. Most universities have moved to limit student work hours to 20 hours a week because they know that students are here primarily for academic studies and then to support their studies with some work. Work is simply a supplement that helps students earn their degrees. So 20 hours a week is considered best practice to ensure that academic and work-life balance are met and that we should be making that change regardless. Most students, let me point out, most students, almost more than 80%, I was going to say almost 90, but more than 80% already work 20 hours or less. What's happened here is that the Affordable Care Act stipulates that a large employer like SIU needs to provide health care to any employee who works more than 30 hours on average over the course of a year. And violating this requirement is heavy fines. So you can imagine if students were working 29 and a half hours during the academic year and longer during breaks, we were topping over 30 hours and we had the potential to have significant fines. So we've made the change. We had to make it quite quickly in order to follow the Affordable Care Act requirements, and we have established a 20-hour week during break, but we've allowed for exceptions to 29 in the summer for student help, and the 20-hour policy will be firm starting in the fall.
I've heard a lot of students who are talking about, you know, they're trying to pay their way through college, their on-campus job may not be the only job that they have. There are some of them that are pretty upset about this, and they're really wondering where they're going to be able to make up that money. Your answer to them?
I would suggest that that they visit their financial aid office, and remember, over 80% of our students don't have a problem. They're already at 20 hours or less. But those that were pushing the 29 hours. We'll be at 20 come fall, and they should visit the financial aid office to see what other avenues they have to support their education.
This is Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio, and our guest is SIU Carbondale Chancellor Rita Chang. We should get to what was discussed last week before graduation. The SIU Board of Trustees met in Edwardsville, and they discussed the fees that have been on the agenda for a couple of months now. They've had time to look at them, wanted to wait for new President Randy Dunn to be on board and make sure that he had time to look at them as well. In Thursday's meeting, a fee that would have helped shore up the finances at the Daily Egyptian was tabled. The increase in the athletic fee was also tabled. And then this is not a fee, but it was a contract that the board was taking a look at, the one for Lippman Hearn, were all tabled at last week's meeting. Can we go through each of those, starting with the DE?
Okay. First off, I think the board's tabling of these issues is a reflection of the presidential transition. Trustees expect to have a full understanding of what they're approving, and in this case, our trustees needed more information, and the president had only been in office for 5 days, so he needed time to become grounded and to explore options. Regarding the Daily Egyptian, it's important to understand that the tabling of the fee is simply to allow more time to explore funding alternatives and business models with a set of fresh eyes at the table, our new president and the board members. We're in conversations with the presidents now about explorations, how that exploration might look like, and I anticipate that we'll have a plan very shortly. Clearly, we have heard a lot of varied input, inputs on the fee. We're also grateful for those viewpoints, and the university's committed to the DE. We understand the value and importance of the student press as a training ground. I believe that we'll be able to work through these financial questions and that the DE will be around for a long, long time.
There are a lot of questions, and some of them came from social media as all of this was evolving late last week. And they were talking about last week would be the last issue of the Daily Egyptian, that it would shut down because of a lack of funds. President Dunn said that he would continue the commitment that the president's office had. That was roughly $55,000. And there are those within the DE that say they need nearly $200,000 to make it through the fiscal year, as the board is suggesting. How is your office helping with that, and do you think that last week is the last issue of the Daily Egyptian?
That's an interesting question, Jennifer. No, I do not think it's the last edition, and I have not seen the financials to know whether or not the claims of running out of cash by the end of the summer with President Dunn's support are accurate, or whether there are ways that we can streamline and look at the business model once again, as the board asked us to before seeking an increase in the student fees.
You said that you hoped that it would be resolved rather shortly, and there are those who wonder whether this can come up again in July or whether the board will stick to what it said, keep this on the table for a year. Do you have any hope that it may come up again in July?
That will certainly be their call. But we do have an opportunity in July and in time to still meet the deadline for sending bills out for fall semester. It would be a very tight window, but there is that opportunity. And there's also an opportunity to ask the executive committee to revisit. So I think we've got a plan, and we've got some opportunity here to just revisit. Look at it once again, make sure that everybody is comfortable, and then, depending on what we see, move forward either immediately or in a year.
Another fee that was tabled was the increase in the athletic fee. Now, there will still be an athletic fee next year. It just won't be $9 more, which
correct,
is what was proposed.
Correct, correct. There currently is a fee of $306 a semester. There was a request to increase that by $9 or just under 3%. Just as we are going to do for the DE, we're going to be providing additional detail on how these funds would be used to support the athletic program and through it our student body, given the program's contributions to campus life. Recall, Jennifer, we had two fees, an operating fee and the Saluki Way capital fee that we collapsed several years ago. So this fee appears to be very large because it is not only supporting the operations of athletics, but also the debt associated with Saluki Way that the students committed to many years ago.
And we heard from board members and the president who said this likely will come back before the fall semester for
Correct.
Consideration.
Correct.
The Littman-Hearn contract, we heard from the board last year saying that if they didn't see the numbers improve, that they were going to cancel the contract. They came back this year and said, well, we're going to table it because they don't feel like they've seen what they wanted to see. What do you hope to show them over the next several weeks?
Well, the Littman-Hearn contract is also another opportunity to talk about the positive progress that we have made under the partnership to date. Our large freshman class last year and our promising very large freshman class this year are direct outcomes of the investment in marketing given the incredible competition of students in higher education. You may recall shortly after I arrived, our accrediting agency advised us that we invest more deeply in enrollment management and marketing. Bringing in external help allowed us to ramp up quickly and apply best practices in higher education marketing, which was important given our enrollment situation. So we've revamped our recruitment and admission process, our financial aid process, our orientations, and our week of welcome, and it was all with the help of this firm. We're looking at graduate student recruitments and help with our fundraising efforts. So the firm has helped us make very positive change in our visibility and our reputation. And again, with a new president and a board that wants more information, we welcome the opportunity to sit down and talk further.
And they may again address that at their July meeting,
Correct.
Which is scheduled for Springfield. We're running short on time, but I wanted to let you talk a little bit about our retention efforts here at SIU Carbondale. That's been a bit of a stumbling block over the last couple of years. As you've watched those freshman classes get bigger, we're still having trouble keeping those students in Carbondale. What are the efforts doing at this point?
Well, as you know, our fall to spring levels for first-time students were up 3.5 percentage points over the same time last year, so we're heading in the right direction. This is an incredibly complex issue, and it is certainly connected to recruiting a large, academically talented class and then supporting them through particularly their first year. We've also talked a lot across campus about the importance of retention, and I believe that our new two-year rolling retention plan that we've just rolled out is really something that you should look at and we can talk about further in the future. It's got broad input from faculty and staff, not just math and English and a few gateway courses, but a broad body of stakeholders, and it is most likely to impact retention for fall of 2015. Remember, there's a lag in our monitoring of retention that happens after we recruit students. So our fall 13 class was large and also talented. Our fall 14 class will be large and talented, and then all the efforts that you have in the retention. There are 11 plans that will help retain those students.
How does SIU Carbondale compare when it comes to retention?
Well, our retention is low compared to many institutions, but it actually is higher than expected based on the profile of the student that we admit. We admit a lot of first-generation students, a lot of students that have some holes in their academic preparation that we need then to help transition to college. And as you saw on Saturday, we have great success in bringing them to completion. But we need to get our numbers up so that those that look at our numbers and don't know the context with which we do our work are also feeling proud of this university's accomplishments.
Sure. And, of course, as you said, this is a very complex issue. We'll certainly bring that back next month over the summer months to
look
talk
forward to it. Thank
about
you.
That. SIU Carbondale Chancellor Rita Chang, thanks for coming in this morning.
I'm happy to be here.